This is an interview with
R.H. Harry Nealons.
Mr. Nealons, could you give us your date of birth and where you were born and when you came to British Columbia?
I was born in Ontario, July 8, 1881, in a farming area where my dad was a mechanic in woodworking and a blacksmith shop work, and he doing the woodwork in the repair and maintenance of farm implements and things of that nature. I attended school for about 3 or 4 years when, as a boy, 10 years of age, with the family, we left this country district to arrive in Vancouver in 1891.
How old were you then?
I was 10 years of age. In 1891. My dad preceded us, the rest of the family, to BC by a year or so, and he was employed at Victoria. He landed off the train in Vancouver, and by boat to Victoria, where I attended school and served my apprenticeship after leaving school at the printing trade.
Printing trade, I see.
And
when did you start work?
I started work when I was quite young, much younger than the average youth. Today.
Do you remember the date or how old you were?
I was 13 years of age, and did miscellaneous jobs for a short period that a boy of that age could pick up.
Yeah.
Gradually, I drifted into a printing office, served my apprenticeship.
Which one was that?
It was a job office known as the T.R. Cusack Company of Victoria.
That was in Victoria?
Yeah, it was in Victoria. Then I served my apprenticeship with him. I worked for approximately 18 months subbing, picking up whatever work I could at the printing trade for those 18 months. When when I joined the union, in the typographic union, in 1904. Then in September 1905, I came to Vancouver, and with the exception of a short residence at White Rock since my retirement, I have been resident of Vancouver.
I see. So you got into the printing trade in Victoria.
Yes.
And you joined the typographical union there.
In Victoria.
And there was a local there.
Yes.
Were they affiliated with the international typographical
union? Oh yes.
Charter?
Oh yes.
Do you remember the local number? The number of the local? Do you remember?
201.
201, I see. And do you remember anybody from there who was in the local then?
No. I was just a youngster, so I didn't take a very active part further than attending their meetings regularly.
Yeah.
here in Victoria.
Were they a pretty well-established union? Did they have a lot? How many members did they have?
Well, it was a small local, generally speaking. Of course, much smaller than the present time.
How many members do you think they have?
Well, I'd say possibly in the neighborhood of 50.
I see. And then you came to Vancouver.
Then I came
in when? 1903?
1904. Yes, sure. And worked in various offices, some small offices, job offices, and then finally landed in the province where I worked from approximately 1905, latter part of 1905 until 1912.
Now, when you worked there at the time, how were conditions different from today, for instance?
Well, all of the facilities are much different nowadays than what they are. In fact, I'd be quite at a loss in the print shop
today. You would be.
Yeah.
I see. And like, for instance, your pay, your hours, for instance.
The hours at that time for the job offices were 8 hours a day.
They were.
And the newspaper, 7.5.
That's good, isn't it? That's pretty good for the time.
Oh yes, for the times, that was a pretty good standard.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And did you have a weekly wage or an hourly wage? It wasn't any.
Well, daily. It was
a daily wage.
A daily wage and paid it weekly by $21 a week. Now they're getting over 100.
But compared with the time, that was probably a fair wage. Would you say that? Compared with other trades.
Yeah. Well, comparatively speaking, I would say there is some advantage, but not a great deal. For this reason, we take housing as an example. It used to take about a week's pay of $18 to $20 a week to pay a month, a week to pay for a month's rent. The present day, people pay $100 or maybe a little bit more for the same accommodation. So relatively speaking, there is not a great deal of improvements.
I see.
Of course, we have greater privileges. Automobile, the average tradesman at any rate has an automobile, whereas then Shanks Mirror was some more.
And you have holidays and pensions?
Oh yes. Holidays and monetary benefits, out of work benefits, sick benefits,
and you didn't
sick
have
leave, or all that matters.
And workman's compensation. You didn't have that then, did you?
They were absolutely unknown in my earlier days.
When you joined in Victoria, the union, you just joined because you arrived at work and there was a closed shop?
Closed shop. Yeah.
So you just joined?
Yeah.
Right. And the same in Vancouver? When you came to Vancouver, there was also a closed shop?
You just
joined?
I took a traveling transfer card from Victoria and deposited in Vancouver. Conditions were pretty much the same, and of course that's the practice of the typographical union, and No doubt with other organizations, the same thing applies. I got a transfer card from Victoria, deposited with the local secretary, and just took off the coat.
That saved your initiation dues. You didn't have to pay any initiation dues.
No. Right. Just deposited the card was sufficient.
Was there a lot of contact between the Victoria and the Vancouver locals?
No, that was internationally.
Yeah.
For example, I could have gone to New York with that.
And it would have been the same.
Or gone to Ottawa in Canada and had the same reception.
Well, you. Was there any difference between the Vancouver and the Victoria locals when you moved to Vancouver? Did you notice any difference? I mean,
was they interchange any union at all?
No, but I mean, when you quit the Victoria local and you joined the Vancouver local, that was, what was the number of local?
Vancouver 226.
226. And were they in any way different from Victoria? Were they bigger, for instance?
Oh, it was a larger union.
How many members did they have?
The membership of Vancouver at that time would be 100 to 125, I would guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And do you remember who were the outstanding members of the local at that time?
At that time, I could mention our friend Petty Peace.
Yes. He joined around then, didn't he?
And a fellow named Billy Powell, Stuart Campbell.
Well, they don't have in here who the new members are in, so.
No, not at that time. No. They haven't. They've got the list of members for that closing.
Mr. Pennypiece, did he join about the same time?
Oh, no, he was already
a member. He was already a member when you joined.
I mentioned his name as one who was a member and in the organization at that time.
Yeah. And he was about your age, wasn't he, though? Pennypiece, was he? How old was he?
He's approximately my age.
That's right.
Within maybe a year or so older. And I'm presently 82.
Yes.
In a few weeks, I'll be 83.
And this is 1964, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else about that you think is important about that you'd like to mention about the first days of the union?
Would you be interested in the buildings that the Trade Council was interested in from that time on?
What do you mean by that?
We have labor headquarters now.
Oh, you mean the Vancouver Labor Council?
Of course, not the Labor Council itself, but the Labor Council is a big shareholder, and we have to have a name for the business administration of the building, so it's known as Labor Headquarters.
I see.
And a joint company comprises the company that is operating the building now, of which individual members are shareholders, and also the Trades and Labor Council, a big shareholder.
I see. Well, I don't really think we, because I tell you, we have pretty good records of the Vancouver Labor Council. They have all the minutes.
Yeah.
And so what I'm concerned with now is your own local union.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes.
And other things that happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know, other strikes maybe that you remember directly.
There's one thing that might be of interest, and that is the number of people, both men and women, in the labor movement of Vancouver. During that time, so many have taken an active interest politically. Municipally, civic elections, provincial and otherwise. Of course, the outstanding one, as everyone will admit, our good friend Angus McGuinness, with whom I was quite personally acquainted, and many others, who back to the 50 more years ago since I came here, the Typographical Union has contributed members to the civic administrations of South Vancouver when it was a municipality, Point Grey when it was a municipality, Vancouver City, North Vancouver, and Burnaby at different times, and even at the present time, some of them have labor representation.
Did you tell us who they were?
Yes.
And when?
I'll go back to W.A. Pound, Stuart Campbell.
Where did Mr. Pound, in the civic government?
He was Reeve.
Of what?
Of South Vancouver. Stuart Campbell was the councillor. George.
In South Vancouver.
Yes.
Right?
George Hardy, who was the carpenter, also was a councillor in South Vancouver.
When was this about?
1912. In that neighborhood. In a little later, in Point Grey, a fellow called Wilton, another printer, was on the school board several years.
What, do you remember the years?
No, I don't know exactly the years.
No.
But
how do you spell it?
Around the 20s.
How do you spell his name?
Wilton, W-I-L-T-O-N.
I see.
And Harry Corey, counselor.
Is that C-O-R-E-Y?
C-O-R-E-Y. He was...
Where was he?
He was the counselor for Vancouver City.
I see.
And Angus McGuinness, of course, was on the school board in the city.
When, what year?
A number of years. Oh, around 1912, I'd say.
That's when he first, that he must have been quite a young man.
Yes, around that period.
And what union was he in again, Angus McGuinness? He was in what union?
Angus.
Street Railway.
Yes. Corley was a printer.
Did you know all these men?
Oh, yes.
I
knew them personally.
And where did you meet them?
Well, just in my association. Moved around the city.
Did you run as labor candidate?
Those first fellows I mentioned, Wilton and Stuart Campbell. Corey, Petty Peace, so on. Members, I met them typographically.
Yeah.
Then being a delegate to the Trades and Labor Council, I met others. Other trades, Jimmy Smith, for example.
Was he elected anywhere too?
Councillor of South Vancouver. George Hardy, another councillor of South Hardy. Early period.
He was in what year?
The Gutter Each, an alderman.
Oh, yes. He was in the Amalgamated Collingwood.
That's right. Jim McVitie, of course, he wasn't active in the political field, but he had prominent positions similar to what Chris Pritchard had.
And you met most of these people in the Vancouver Labour Council.
Yeah, that's right.
And did you run as Labour candidates or as what, Socialist Party or what was it? Or just as independents or liberals?
In the early days, they ran as independents and were endorsed
I see.
By the the Labour Council was not there.
I see.
To don't endorse them, they were endorsed by the Labour Council.
And that was most of the people you've mentioned and ran as independents.
Right. And North Shore, for example, there was another printer, a member of provincial parliament, Mel Bryan.
Mel Bryan, I see. Yeah. I've heard of him. Yeah. And he became a liberal and then a socred and then a liberal again, right?
He was
a, and then they dropped. But he was, you knew him when?
Yes, 1920.
1920.
Yeah,
and he was first an independent? Was he an independent Labour candidate?
No, no, he was a straight Labour.
Straight Labour, I see.
Yeah, sure.
And,
at the same time, I was in the legislature. Representing
The Liberal.
Independent Labour Party at that time.
The ILP.
Yes, Sam Guthrie was there at the same time.
And now, you were elected in 1920.
Right?
Till 28. And then you were defeated.
Defeated.
And, so, you know, we'll get down to that later, but a lot of these people that got elected, it was only one term very often, like Miss Gutheridge.
Yeah.
She was only in for one term, wasn't
she? Yes.
And how do you explain that? I mean, and how do you
I don't know, but I haven't any explanation for that. It's just the point.
And how do you explain that today the no Labour can't get people like this? Well, at that time they did.
Labour doesn't seem to be taking, that is organized labour, doesn't seem to be taking the interest politically as they did a few years ago.
Well, they did. I remember in 58, before the recent legislation, they used to run candidates, Paddy Neal and so on, and they didn't get elected, really. And they made a fairly good showing, but they never got quite in. Now, but you all succeeded in the 1912, 1920. You succeeded in getting elected. How do you did you have a very active campaign? As they said, was the campaign better or what? Easier to get in?
I'm sorry, I don't think I have any real explanation for that is, but I also often wonder whether there is the same interest taken by the working man as an individual now as there was then, because they've got so much that some of them seem to be quite satisfied that they. And another thing is the big factor in the success at that time was the propaganda that was carried on constantly. Street corner meetings. They take the Independent Labour Party, which has now graduated into the NDP. Street corner talks, petty beasts. I've seen them on the soapbox corner of Hastings and Harris, and what is the next street to join in there? Well, anyway, on the street corners on Mint Vancouver, soapboxing Saturday nights, the old Independent Labour Party weekly meetings would fill a theater, the movie places, for a Sunday night's meeting, and good liberal collections to maintain the conduct of their affairs in the meantime. Whereas now, I doubt very much if that could be accomplished.
Well, now, your trade union, did they help in this sort of thing?
Well, the trade union was possibly not as politically minded, because it was composed like it is at the present time, or maybe to a greater extent of every party conceivable. I've heard our good friend, the late Warren Bedebes, many times say that any organization in the labor movement could supply a political candidate for any political party that might be in existence. So there wasn't the same unity in that respect as there is now.
But the members were more active, is that it, themselves?
The individual members were more active and more concerned.
And you talked about this on the shop, on the job, I suppose.
Yeah, yes.
And you spread the word around,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now there were a lot of different parties, weren't there? A lot of different sort of left-wing or working class parties.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how did you come in contact with all this? When you came to BC, for instance, you had no political leanings.
No. Well, my first venture, insofar as political action was concerned, was in South Vancouver. And about the only explanation I could offer, I had no information personally, no thought of such a thing, but there happened to be this Mr. Pound that I mentioned,
yes.
a member of the Typographical Union, with whom I was working in the province at the time, was mayor, or at least
Reeve
of the district of South Vancouver.
Right.
I had a personal contact there. He was interested in municipal politics at that time, and the vacancy on the school board, and he thought, well, maybe I'd be a candidate. I won there.
When was this?
In 1912.
So you first got elected to the school board in 1912.
That's right.
And was this a by-election or a general election?
No, straight election.
Straight election.
And
you ran as what?
Labor candidate, yes. Member of trade union.
And were you opposed?
Oh yes, there are several candidates.
And
several candidates.
Like what? Were they different parties?
Insofar as school boards are represented parties, they were of other parties. There was Conservative ran at the same time, and another person who was a member, who was a liberal. I know that, and I went on as labor, and I did fairly well politically that way, as far as winning was concerned, because from then on, as a result, I can only attribute to applying my trade union principles to the conduct of affairs in school board operations is the only explanation I could offer. And I consequently won every election that I stood for in the school board in South Vancouver until amalgamation deprived. And then after amalgamation, based on that reputation, I was nominated for the Vancouver City School Board and won there, and where I was a member there for some considerable time.
Until when? Do you remember when? Until when?
When did I quit the school board?
You don't remember, eh?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, there's so many of these that I get the dates conflicted.
What about when you, I mean, you said you ran in 1912, but you arrived here you arrived in Victoria, and then you came to Vancouver in 1904. Now, when you arrived, something between 1904 and 1912 must have, you know, got you politically interested. And, for instance, did you consider yourself what were your political opinions in 1912? I mean, were you a socialist, or what did you consider yourself?
Not affiliated with sympathy. Towards my main interest was to make some contribution to the welfare of the average individual by political action if it could assist, and if there's a possibility that I could make a contribution in that regard, I would take advantage of the opportunity.
Mm.
And I found that so in the school board, because I just pleaded the cause of the teachers and the employees of the school board mainly. South Vancouver was a fertile field because it was populated by working people, and consequently my ideas were acceptable.
Yeah, what platform did you run on? Just a general sort of thing?
Yeah, no, just as a citizen. Yeah.
So you did not run as a socialist?
No.
And were there other people running then that you knew that were?
No, I don't know.
Well, for instance, what about Angus McGuinness?
Angus.
And what about Mr. Pound?
Pound?
Yeah.
Conservative.
He was a conservative.
He was Reeve of South Vancouver.
He was Reeve, but he was in the trade union.
He was in the trade union.
And did he run as a Labour candidate?
No, he was of course, didn't maintain that a party politics didn't enter into municipal affairs.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it was a provincial or a federal election. I know that he would vote Conservative.
Were you a member of any party then?
No, there was no.
Well, hold on now, the ILP, that was a party, wasn't it? You were a member of that.
Well, I don't think I was even a member of the ILP at that time. I don't think so. But I very soon got interested in the ILP, and was endorsed by them on all my elections.
And now that you were just endorsed.
Yeah.
And that meant you, how did you go about getting endorsed?
Well, I was a member, an active member of the
ILP. They had a meeting for selecting candidates?
For nominating their candidate, yeah.
And what did you do? You get up and speak? And then they thought?
They tell you, sure.
And you were endorsed?
Yeah.
And who else ran with you? Who were your running mates? Say in 1912.
I
can't remember.
I couldn't remember. 1912, of course, the party politics wouldn't be a factor.
No.
And not within my experience, anyway.
And who put up your campaign? Did your local union
They would help. Yes, but for my first election to the board, school board in South Vancouver, I don't recollect any particular organization had my backing at all. I just went in as an individual, and if I were to suspect any real factor in it, I would be my friendship with this fellow Pound and Stuart Campbell, who were members of the city council there, and would be candidates at the same time.
Yeah.
For their respective offices.
When you went, let's go back to the union for a moment. You became the secretary of the local, did you not? On what I have, March 28, 1909. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what the Union history since now. Do you remember anything about that?
Pardon?
Do you remember anything about that? Well, becoming secretary.
Well, I just remember that the secretary in office at that time went into business for himself, which disqualified him for the position. And at a regular meeting, I was nominated to follow him and won.
And what was his name? Do you know?
Harry Cowan.
Harry Cowan.
Yes. The firm is out of business now. Cowan is deceased, of course, and the other partner, Brookhouse, also deceased. So.
How many members were there in the union?
About 220 or so.
200?
No, 100.
100.
Yeah, approximately that.
Okay. And I have in here that in 1911 you voted for a general strike subject to endorsement by the ITU executive.
Yeah.
And you didn't get the
endorsement. No. I think that time it was really the initial concern was the building trades. That's just why I remember it. But are in the national stand for a general strike.
Why did you go on the general? Why did you vote for going on it? What was the issue for general strike? Why did you vote to go on general strike? Why did you decide to go on a general strike? Was there any
particular
issue?
Our sympathies were with our friends whom we were associating day by day.
Yes.
But a general strike was against the policy of the International Typographic Union. And we would have to get their consent to participate. We didn't get their consent. Hence, we couldn't take active participation in it.
But what I want, what I'd like to know is, why did you think you'd like to go on a general strike? I mean, that is a pretty serious thing to do. You don't do that just for fun. And was it IWW influence or a particular labor issue that was important?
No, it was just that we're in sympathy with the people who were active in it and with whom we in daily contact. Naturally, our sympathies was towards them, but our rules and regulations wouldn't permit.
But now, who were the people you say that you were? Do you mean just all the trade unions? When you say the people you're in contact with, you were sympathetic to, do you mean other trade unionists?
Other trade unions who were involved.
And, but now I'll tell you, I'll read out what it says. It says, resolved that providing number 226 gets endorsement of ITU Executive Council, the local typographical union will join other unions in general strike on Monday, June 5th, 1911.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering whether there was a big issue there, or whether you just, overthrowing the, what were you trying to accomplish with it?
Well, it's self-protection.
Against what?
Our own international. If they could, if we acted in face of the instructions from our headquarters, our charter could have been withdrawn, would have been out of existence.
That's right. But when you passed the resolution, you decided wanted to go on strike.
Well,
what were you trying to achieve with that? You know?
Maybe I voted against it. I don't know.
No, but what is the membership that voted for it?
Yeah.
Who proposed it?
I don't know.
And you don't remember what exactly they were asked?
No. I couldn't recall the debate on it. No.
Well, it's just wondering, I guess. And at that time, they also got a full-time secretary, and you were the first, is that right?
Yes.
And you became a paid secretary.
Yes.
Also in 1911.
Yeah.
Which is up to then you haven't had that. Up to then your union haven't had a paid secretary.
No.
So this is many.
He was paid for a normal amount, you know. Yeah. He did the clerical work in his spare time.
But not enough.
Did the end of the week sense compensate for lost time or just talk.
This is a sign really that the union was getting stronger, isn't it?
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And how many members did they have by then, do you know?
I'd say neighborhood 200.
I see, 200 members. And they didn't have any problems really of being losing certification or anything like that. Mm. So they felt fairly secure.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yes, I do.
Now, you were also a delegate to the Allied Printing Trades Council.
Yeah.
Also in the same year. And was this the first time this was set up, this council?
No, it's been in existence for years and years.
Before you came to town?
Yeah, before I.
And is there anything noteworthy about the council that you'd like to say?
No, it was largely, it was composed of the trades involved in the newspaper and job printing, and it was merely to protect the interests of whatever joint way we could act of the people associated in the printing business.
And were you, how long did you stay on this council?
Well, just a few years.
Just a few years.
Yes, it was the delegates
rotated
quite frequently.
And nothing particularly happened?
No.
At that time you were handing out union labels already.
That's right. We're trying to organize a shop that might open up if necessary. Maybe what I mean by if necessary, it may be opened up by people who are not interested in the typographical union, and the Allied Council would use its influence to square up the shop, make it a union one.
And how did your organization drive Skull at that time? Did you pretty well have Vancouver organized?
Yes, pretty well organized.
And everything except what? For instance, where were your biggest centers of members? Which were the biggest shops you had organized?
Well, Palmer's Harbor Judge, at that time it would be
the World?
The World and the Province. Well, the World and the Province would be pretty much on a par.
Yeah.
They were both fairly substantial papers.
Did you have at that time any strikes? Did you lose any shops around then?
I'm sorry.
Did you lose any shops around then? Lose Did your union get decertified in any shops? Did you lose any strikes?
The biggest handicap outside of one or two smaller shops that we would lose, and we would lose them in this respect, that they wouldn't agree to a scale that had recently been negotiated, and consequently, unless they would accept that scale, we withdrew our members, and some of them carried on as best they could under non-union conditions. But that applied in the job industry, not the newspapers.
They were always organized.
They were always.
You never had any problems.
No.
Good. Let's take. Is there anything else that you have to tell up to the First World War? Do you remember any of the other organizing campaigns or strikes, for instance, in the other unions? For instance.
No, I don't think I just at the moment.
I mean, you were on the Vancouver Labor Council, were you not?
Oh, I was president of the council for a spell. Oh, yeah.
When did you become president?
That's just a matter of record. I was a delegate for quite a number of years, but in the early 20s or maybe.
After the First World War?
Well, I was a delegate to the council prior to the war.
But you were president after the war.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Pettipies, he was active in the two, wasn't he?
Yes.
In the Bank of the Labour Council.
Yes.
And he was what? He was secretary, was he?
Secretary of the council.
And then
McVitie was president.
Now, do you remember during the war, did you go overseas at all?
No.
Stay in Vancouver?
No, I didn't leave Vancouver.
I see. You didn't leave Vancouver. Now, were you involved then when in 1918 the Labour Council, the Labour Temple was more or less stormed by
I was there.
You were right there.
I was in the building.
You were in the building.
Yeah.
And were you on the executive?
No, I stayed in my office and wasn't bothered.
You stayed in your office and you weren't bothered.
Yeah.
I see. Did you see any of it? Or you just heard?
No, I just sat in my office
and
minded my own business.
That's right. And what were the issues? Well, how did this all come about, you know? How did people come to storm the Vancouver Labour Council?
I don't know. It was anti-war.
The Labour Council was anti-war.
I would only surmise that was the main thing, but I think the attack on the labor headquarters was originated by some of the business concerns.
I think so.
I think they were the force behind the scenes.
Is this just suspicion, or do you have any indication that this is the case? Did you have any kind of hint that this is the case, or did you just suspect it?
Just suspect it. Yeah.
But you don't know.
Oh, sure. It's only an individual opinion that I might have. I don't know.
But you don't really know.
No.
Wasn't there a strike? Wasn't that the case? It was after Ginger Goodman's death, isn't that right? What about the OBU? One big union.
Yes.
Do you remember getting in contact with them?
No, not contact. I know that our organization was opposed to it, to the INM.
And you were opposed to general strike?
Yes. Yeah.
And why was this? Why? Do you remember why? Was it you were...
Well, the enormity of such an occurrence is one thing that would be a deterrent as far as the typos were concerned. So, and in addition to that, as I just mentioned before, the international wouldn't support it.
That's right. And that was sufficient reason for you, your lawful
charge? Oh, yes.
You didn't want to lose your charter?
No, I couldn't afford it. No.
In 1920, you were elected an MLA.
Yeah.
For Vancouver South.
Yeah.
This is the Independent Labour Party.
That's right.
Delegate. How did you get to be elected delegate? Elected? How did you get to be nominated by the ILP?
By the party.
By the party?
Yeah.
And you were a member?
I was a member of the party, yes. Yeah.
And did you, who approached you? Do you remember?
No, it would be at one of the general meetings of the local branch of the ILP.
And this?
Who did it? Who did the approaching? And I'm not.
You don't
have no knowledge at all.
Were you, was this a Vancouver South branch, or did you have a.
A South Van.
A South Van branch? Just a,
yes.
You have
yeah.
a local in the constituency.
Yes. Yeah.
And who else is a member? Do you remember anybody else who was in that branch? Were you an executive officer?
Oh, it was Harry Cottrell, Street Whaleman. Judge Sidaway, another Street Whaleman.
How do you spell those names?
Sidaway, Sidaway. Harry Cottrell, Cottrell.
And Cottrell was in the Street Railwayman.
Yes.
Was he a friend of Angus McGuinness?
Yes, yes.
And the other fellow? Who was he in? Sidgwick?
Midgley.
Midgley, what union was he in?
He was in the Street Railwayman also.
Also.
Yeah.
And they were, how big was the branch in Vancouver, South Vancouver?
Oh, I'd say about 50.
50 members.
Yeah.
And was that, did you, did you run against anybody for the nomination, or was it by acclamation? Mm-hmm.
I think I got an acclamation, but I think largely influenced from the fact that
you were on the school board.
My experience on the school board happened to create some confidence.
Yes.
Or something different. Mm-hmm. That's the only explanation.
And you were a bit known in the area.
Well, through the school board
activities. That's right.
Yeah.
And what do you remember the campaign at all? What you campaigned on?
Well, the main factor of the campaign that I can say right away, full knowledge, cost us $120 to elect me to Victoria. Volunteer labor of an abundance.
I see.
Oh, it was just most gratifying that this support I got. Unexpected, like a bolt from the blue, and no hope. I was nominated to carry on the camp as a vehicle to propagate in the ILP. That's how I was elected.
Do you remember roughly what time of the year you were nominated?
In the fall.
In the fall. And when was the election? Also in the fall?
Yes, yes.
How much time did you have then?
A few weeks.
A few weeks to campaign.
Yeah.
And you won. But that wasn't really much, was it? Was it a snap election, or did you... why did you wait till the last minute, more or less? Was that the way it was always done?
Or? Well, you run a full term. It was a general election.
What I mean is that sometimes people get nominated a year in advance.
Oh, yeah. No. It was just a few weeks ahead of the... But in the meantime, we've been carrying on ILP community meetings, propaganda meetings, kind of another.
Mm-hmm. Which of the unions mostly supported your campaign?
The Street Fair and the Moon were strong supporters always. Carpenters to a large extent. My own union, I got personal support, and the result of what influence they could create, or exert, rather.
Who was in it from the carpenters,
Jimmy Smith, I mentioned, George Harvey, and
Were you on the executive of the local ILP there?
Oh, yes. Secretary for a period. Yeah.
When did you get active in... This is... You were... Yeah, you got active in 1912.
Yeah.
And this... what can you tell me about the ILP? When do you think it got started?
Well, it started... possibly the Socialist Party of Canada was a big factor in the formation of the ILP. In this respect, that there was quite an element of the trade union movement that were fairly advanced in their thinking, not to the point where they're willing to accept the purely socialist. So therefore, we formed what we call the Independent Labour Party with a measure of socialist ideas and with the object that we had in mind at that time of bringing into immediate effect, or as quickly as possible, some of the ideas that were being promulgated, and we thought would want to take an endless amount of time, more than a lifetime, which, as far as politics are concerned, has developed, to my way of thinking, at any rate, along that line, because the present NDP is quite a, in its composition, is a far cry from the Independent Labour Party. We didn't have professionals, university professors, and school principals, and top-notch doctors in our ranks. It was the burnt rank and filed pick and shovel.
You were all working men.
Working for shorter hours, if we could get them, and when we could get them. Better working conditions, sanitary improvements, and things of that nature. And we've wanted today, not sometime, unforeseen future. Now that's my impression of the formation of the ILP.
And
it had its graduation. It was ILP to start, Canadian Labour Party later on, CCF, the Labour Party that again, now the NDP, what the future will be, goodness only knows.